Many have heard the expression, the way up is down. Discover what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has made available for us today. Now the word with Pastor Paul.
Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ marks the greatest, it marks the greatest miracle, grace, and blessing in the history of mankind. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, you and I would be hopeless. The Bible says that he talks about the fact that if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, we have all men to be pitied. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I have hope. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should not consider that event. And the question is, what does something that happened 2,000 years ago have to do with me today? It makes all the difference. It's not just an event that happened in Palestine 2,000 years ago. It's very relevant in our lives today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 from verse 1 to 6. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at that account in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen. They were expecting Jesus to be in the tomb, but when they went, the angel told them, he's not here. He's risen. He is alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the thing that we have to realize, these guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know the one that you are looking for, Jesus. He was crucified, but he's not here. I don't know, I can stay on that statement for the whole service by God's grace. He is not here. He is not in the tomb. He is alive. My Lord and my God. Verse 8 to 9 says, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Hallelujah. And turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. He says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Verse 21 said, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The first words that he spoke to his disciples when he saw them was, peace be with you. You see, if Jesus hadn't come, we would have still been left in our pain, in our suffering, in our agony. He knows the things that we go through. And when he saw them, twice he said to them, peace to you. This morning, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that may the peace of God, may the peace of Christ be your person this morning in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. May his peace be yours. Peace be to you. They had locked the doors out of fear, but he came and said, peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, any area of your life where there is a lack of peace, I speak by the word of God, peace to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, and the peace that he gives also comes with joy. The peace that comes from Jesus is not as the peace that the world gives. John chapter 14, verse 27. Thank you, Lord. That peace replaces our fears, our concerns. And I pray no one can take this peace away from us. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you. Amen. The peace from the world cannot be compared with the peace of Jesus Christ. The peace that comes from God. Peace that passes all understanding. I pray that will be your portion this morning in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. Throw away all your worries. Throw away all your anxieties. Throw away all your fears and receive his peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another thing that we see in John chapter 20, verse 20. Let's go back there. Thank you, Lord. They received joy. They were glad. John chapter 20, verse 20. He says, when he has showed this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Another translation says they overflowed with joy. This morning, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may that joy be yours in Jesus' name. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May that joy replace hopelessness. May that joy replace despair. May that joy replace any circumstance in your life that doesn't line up with the will of God. Say to worry, anxiety, and problems, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command you to leave my life. And I receive his joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All your fear has come to an end. The power of sin and death which occupied you is demolished. Now you can enjoy peace with God, among yourself, with other people, and with yourself. Jesus Christ, who is the peace himself, and who was resurrected after being crucified, is with us. He doesn't leave you alone. No. You are not on your own. You can experience him every day in your life. The second point is the resurrection of today. The resurrection of today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not only the first person. It's not only from the resurrection of yesterday, but he's still the same today. Jesus Christ is the same. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. for first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For us as Christians, death is not the end of it. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have that hope as well. And if you don't know Jesus, and if you are watching or listening to this, you can have Jesus Christ in your life. You see, for the world, they fight death. For the people that don't know Jesus, they fight death and they despair and they are in agony. And there is no hope beyond the grave. Whether we like it or not, death is something that will happen to all of us if Jesus doesn't come beforehand. So if you don't know Jesus, today is the perfect day to receive him. Heaven is real, hell is real. There are people in heaven right now, and there are people in hell right now. Today you are presented with a choice. To choose life and to come into the family of God if you don't know him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But when we are filled with the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, we do not live a life of despair. We do not live a life of hopelessness because we have, for us as Christians, if you are born again and you are in the kingdom of God, you have Jesus living in your heart. You have through the person of his Holy Spirit. And these things cannot make you fall. Though you go through tests and trials, they will not overcome you, because thanks be to God, somebody has overcome on your behalf. Oh, you are not without hope. You are not hopeless in this life. Oh, you may go through circumstances, but thanks be to God, Jesus, because Jesus lives and because he overcame, you will also overcome. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, sin and death has lost its hold on you. Say to yourself, I participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it louder, I participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but if the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also, I love that phrase, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells where? In you. Oh, and that same Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And where is he? He dwells in you if you are a Christian. Where is he? In you. What is he doing in there? I said last week, is he just like a hitchhiker for you to ride with in life? Or is he just excess baggage? Just to carry around. No, he's in there to help you. He's in there to help you. In the difficult places of life, he's in there to help you. And what did he say? He says, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Life, life, life. Mortal. You see, mortal means subject to death. This body is subject to death. But while you are living down here, you will make it full of life. Not full of sickness, not full of disease. He will make it full of life. I pray that will be your portion this resurrection morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The next thing is, thank you, Lord Jesus. When Jesus, Mary recognized Jesus outside the tomb, she was crying and wondering who had taken the body of Jesus. And Jesus asked a very significant question. And she didn't know it was Jesus. So in John chapter 20, verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? What is it? Who is it you are looking for?" I pray this question is very significant. Why are you crying? What is in your life that causes you to shed tears? What is it that you are looking for in life? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? I pray everyone listening to this or watching this will hear Jesus through this asking you, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Why? What is causing you in your life deep sorrow? What is in your life causes you tears? Is it your children? Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? Is it your career? Is it your business? Is it a health issue? Jesus is asking you this morning, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And he says to you, I am the resurrection and the life. One time Lazarus was dead. He had been dead for 4 days. And Mary and Martha, they were saying, "Oh Jesus, if you had been here earlier, our brother would not have died. But we know that in the future we will see him." Jesus Christ said, "I know you will see him in the future, but right now, while you are down here in the dead places of your life, I am the resurrection and the life." Right now in your life, no matter what you are going through, Jesus is saying to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, glory. Why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Sometimes in life, we seek after so many things. And this morning, you may be watching this, and your heart is searching. You may have tried to fill it with different addictions. You may have tried to fill it with so many things. But I can tell you and I can assure you that only Jesus can fill the void in your life. Nothing else can fill that void. Who is it that you are looking for? I pray that you meet him no matter where you are. May you have an encounter with him this morning and beyond in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Then the next thing that he told Mary was, go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my disciples. Go. And it's interesting that the first person who testified about Jesus was a woman. Go and tell my disciples. And you and I, that is exactly what he's saying to us this morning. If we have received this joy, if we have received this peace, there are so many people around us who don't have this experience. Go and tell them. Tell them that I am the one that can help them. Tell them that the pain, the sorrow, the despair that they go through, I am the one that will help them. Go and tell them. That is the message that he left us with. Go into all the nations and tell everyone that I am alive. I am alive. I am alive. Go to the sick and tell them, Jesus will heal you. Go to the neglected, the forgotten, the poor, and say, Jesus is here for you. Amen. They're all around us crying out, who will help me? I pray that you will be a channel to be used by God to reach other people. If you do that, say amen. Amen. Then the resurrection of Jesus is eternal. It applies to our tomorrow as well. For us as Christians, death is not the end. Psalm 48 verse 14 says, for God is our God forever, and he will be our guide even to the end or even to death. Because Jesus was raised up, we have the hope of the resurrection. And Jesus is coming back. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, he's coming back. And he's coming back very soon. Jesus is not nervous about all that is going on. You think Jesus is nervous? No, he's not. He's not concerned at all. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He will guide us all through our lives. As Christians, we should not look back on our past. Our past is past. Look forward. Wake up every day with the hope that this day will be better than yesterday because of Jesus. This tomorrow, my tomorrow is going to be all right because of Jesus Christ. Walk with that faith. Hebrews 11:1 talks about the fact that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is believing what God's word says. We hope for, what we hope for has already been accomplished. God's plan for my life, it was predetermined before I got here, and I am determined to walk in the fullness of it. Nothing will stop me. Faith is to substitute our thoughts and think in line with God's thoughts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What seems impossible, faith says, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing, 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 nothing is impossible with God. This morning, look at the most impossible circumstance of your life. Oh, Hebrews 11:6 says that he that comes to God must believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is and he is. 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 He is and he is. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As you seek him diligently, you will find him. I said 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 you will find him. That is the kind of faith that he wants us to have. And time passes by so fast. We just got to April of this year. It seems like we started January. And so I pray. The Chinese put it this way, that time flies rapidly like a four-horse chariot. Or it flies by quickly like an arrow. So I pray that for the life that we have on the earth, we will decide to yield our lives to God. A life that is pleasing to God. A meaningful life. I pray that God will give you a meaningful, happy, and a life that is pleasing to him. All the days of your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. Thank you, Lord. He says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, And so we believe that God will bring with those, with Jesus, those who are falling asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who are falling asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the faith of the resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't walk in fear. Let me introduce you to somebody. Her name was Lee. And when she was very young, because her parents were very busy with their work, they left this child at home. And the child just kept watching TV and rented movies, and she kept watching horror movies. And after some time, what she was watching began to show up in her life, and she began to have nightmares. And was unable to sleep soundly. And then when she was in elementary school, she went to a friend's house, and the mother introduced her to a certain religion. That said to her, "You are doomed to kill yourself unless you exercise exorcism." And so since then, whenever something bad happens, she says, "Surely I'm doomed to kill myself, and I'll commit suicide." And this kept tormenting her all through her life. Till one day, her mother called a neighbor. And the neighbor read the scripture where the Bible says, "And Satan entered into Judas to betray Jesus, to kill Jesus." Then all of a sudden, the light came on. You see, the scriptures are very powerful. The light came on for her and said, "Oh, I see the person that is trying to kill me. That person that is trying to kill me is not God, it's the devil. Trying to get me to take my life." Up to that point, she kept thinking about death all the time. But when she realized that, she realized what was wrong with her. And then she started going to church with this lady. And then the pastor read the Bible to her and says, "He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead," and started talking to this person about the hope of the resurrection and the grace of God. And through that, she received Jesus Christ into her life. Her sins were forgiven, and all that, she surrendered her life to God. Threw all those materials away and started serving God faithfully. That is what Jesus can do in the life of someone. And she put it this way. She says, "Jesus came to this earth to become the master of the living and the dead. I was as worthless as dust in the air before the Lord Almighty. I despised God, thinking I was the master of my life. I was a wicked person, wanting to die every day. Being deceived by the devil for a long time, I was troubled by depression and suicidal impulse. Then the resurrected Lord Jesus came into my life and delivered me from my dreadful pitiful thought. Heavenly Father, forgive me. I am a filthy and disgusting sinner. I did wrong. I will not be controlled by the devil. Jesus, you are my only master." When the devil tries to put fear on you, when he tries to put depression on you, say, "In the mighty name of Jesus, I will not take those thoughts. I refuse to entertain them in my life." And if you are listening and watching this and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is the only one that can set you free from that depression. Jesus is the one that can set you free from the oppression of the enemy. And so receive him into your life this morning. Then the question becomes, what does the resurrection mean in my life? In my day-to-day life. In my everyday life, what does it mean? Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. He says, and the graves were opened. This is talking about when Jesus was raised from the dead. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. The Bible says, verse 53 says, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. The graves were open. The graves were open. The graves were open. This morning, no matter what you are going through, that feels like a grave. No matter the circumstances of your life that seem like it's dead and gone forever, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, may that grave, so to speak, in your life be open in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. The graves were open. My Lord, what does the power of his resurrection make available to us? It causes our position to change. My Lord and my God. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 5 to 6. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 to 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. He is not here, but is risen. You are looking for the dead among the living. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, he's saying to you this morning, why are you looking for the successful among the failure? Why are you looking for the healthy among the sick? Your position has changed because of the resurrection. Oh, no longer are you destined to live a life of hopelessness, a life of defeat, and a life of failure, but because he was raised from the dead, because he is alive, defeat is not your portion. Oh, it may be staring at you in the face in any area of your life, but I've come to announce to you by the word of God, oh, you will not be found among the defeated after today. Why are you looking? His position has changed. Don't look for him among the dead. Amen. Oh, and by the resurrection power, I pray that your position changes as well. Amen. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians, the resurrection causes for us a change in position. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16, he says, If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who are falling asleep in Christ have perished. For in this life, only we have hope in Christ, we have all men the most pitiable. But thank God, he's changed our position. The same 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, he says, notice what the Bible says, it's so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And so this morning, any addiction that you may be bound with, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may it be broken completely in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Number three, he turns every issue of shame and reproach. You see, the devil, I call him a poor devil. He thought he had Jesus. He had put him in the grave and he was done with. Had he known, 1 Corinthians 2:8. If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord Jesus. Sometimes the circumstances of your life, it seems like it will never end. But Jesus comes into your life at where you are and changes your life around. Verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor, talking about the resurrection. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. This morning, every trace of shame and reproach in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray comes to an end. Amen. I say, I pray it comes to an end. Amen. I pray every trace of shame and reproach, may it come to an end in your life. Amen. You are not destined for dishonor. You are destined for a life of honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the resurrection turns every captivity. He turns our captivity around. He turns it around completely. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, when he died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two, providing access for everyone. The veil that only the high priest could go once a year now is open. Now you can go to God through Jesus. And he's the only way. There's no other way. He's the only way. And so I pray every grave, everything holding down your life, everything holding down your destiny, in the mighty name of Jesus, may he be open this morning. Because he is alive. Because he is alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then we saw in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he turns our sickness to health. If the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. And then he takes us from slavery to dominion. He's raised us up with Christ Jesus and made us sit together in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. You see, the resurrection was the exercise of the great power of God. And that power gives us dominion and authority over the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of him. Through Jesus, you can walk in victory. Through Jesus, you can overcome in life. Psalm 110 from verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod out of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Rule where? In the midst of your enemies. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rule, rule. Yes. He said to him, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And he will send the rod out of Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. The enemies that you are faced with, this morning I see you ruling over them, in the midst of them. I see you ruling and reigning. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Let's wrap up with that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul was praying that the church at Ephesus would get a revelation of this. For me, that made the difference in my life. When I realized that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me, that same power is already towards me. And not only that, he has raised me up and made me sit together in heavenly places. So if he is sitting there and he's saying to him, sit there till your enemies be made your footstool. I am sitting there with him and I'm expecting my enemies to be made my footstool. The enemies that you are faced with, I don't care what it is, sickness, whatever, lack, issues, problems, rule in the midst of your enemies. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you. And this is my prayer for all of us this morning. The Apostle Paul praying, verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, where toward us who believe. And this power is according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's praying that your eyes will be open. Not this natural eyes. That doesn't see anything much. He's talking about your spiritual eyes. Be open to see it. When Jesus was walking on the road of Emmaus with some of the disciples, the Bible says their eyes were closed. They didn't realize who he was. So he opened their eyes. I pray that in this resurrection, your eyes will be open to see Jesus in his fullness. To see what? That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now towards you who believe. You are not trying to get power. The powerhouse is living in you. And that same power is already towards you who believe. And that power, and where he's seated at his right hand, is in the heavenly places. And he's saying it is far above all principality and power. And then the other good news is, not only is he seated there, you see, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter. So when he gets to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, thank you, Lord. He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And what is he saying? Where Jesus is seated is far above. And positionally, you and I are seated with him. That is a foundation for victory. That is for a foundation when you wake up and you step out of the day. You talk to God and step out into the day. Oh, no matter what I am faced with, he says he put all things under his feet. That name is above all names that are named. So no matter what you are faced with, that name of Jesus is above that name. That name is above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And finally, he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. That is the foundation for victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. We'll just wrap up with that. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who gives us what? Defeat? Failure,
victory.
Defeat,
victory.
Fear,
victory.
Oh, depression,
victory.
am I reading the same Bible that you are reading? He gives us what? Victory.
Victory.
He gives us what?
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 Victory.
Ay, 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 ay. From today, the last defeat that you saw in your life, may that be the last one that you ever see.
Yeah.
If you believe that, say amen.
Yeah.
Say victory. Sudden victory. Sudden victory. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Who gives us the victory. Oh, may you know no defeat anymore because of the resurrection of Jesus. May the last defeat that you experience be the last one you ever see. I like the Apostle Paul. I'm named after him, so I'm following in that direction. He said, finally, and then he wrote two chapters. finally. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, now thanks be to God. Which what? Always. Sometimes? No. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Everywhere that you go, when you step out into this week, may this resurrection experience not just end here today, but he says, he always, he's saying something similar to what we read earlier, gives us victory. Ah, yeah. And causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. When you step into that neighborhood today, may the fragrance of Christ be on you. And may he make manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. May the life of Jesus be made manifest in your life. May he cause you always to triumph because of his resurrection. He gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. He always causes us to what? Triumph. I see you triumphing. I see you walking in victory. I see you triumphing. I see you walking in victory. Oh, that which is staring at you and looks like defeat this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I said, I see you walking in victory. I see you walking in victory. I see you triumphing. Oh, over that circumstance in your life. Oh, over sickness and disease. Over that relationship, you are triumphing. In your business, you are triumphing. Oh, that child that seems to be way out there, in the mighty name of Jesus, the seed of God's word that was planted in their life, I see them coming back in Jesus' mighty name.
We trust this message empowered you to walk in the victory Jesus made available. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.